Howdy and welcome to the 10-week Bible study. This is week 8, day 4 of our study of Mark. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about Mark 13, 1 through 31. Welcome back to the 10-week Bible study. Again, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs. Would you join me as we pray before we start today? Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word is saying, God? Speak to us. We want to encounter you through your word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The passage we're going to be going through today is Jesus talking about end time events. And I could tell you, I could spend a month in this podcast just on the passage that we're going to be reading today. I've spent time on our podcast in Revelation, in Daniel. I've written a book, a Bible study guide on the book of Revelation. I'm in the process right now of finishing one on the book of Daniel. All about end times, written on the book of John, and focused on the end times. These things are important, and Jesus makes them important. When you look at the number of scriptures in the Bible about what we call the end times, eschatology is the fancy word for it. When we look at the sheer volume of verses in the Bible about the end times, there's really no other subject in scripture as covered as the end times, or as important in scripture as the end times. So when we read things like this, and many people are afraid of the end times, many people are confused by all of these things, but Revelation, the book of Revelation, John starts it very clearly, is that if you read the book of Revelation, if you read about the end times, you will be blessed. And it's important to take these things to heart. And Jesus is basically going to say the same thing here. So when we look at end times passages, when we look at information like this, it's very common for people to say, well, everyone disagrees on it, so it's not something we should focus on. We should focus on other things. But the testimony of Scripture is exactly the opposite. It says, no, focus on these things. Think about these things. Meditate on these things. Know these things. Commit these things to memory. Understand these things. As difficult as they can be to understand, give yourself to understanding these things. Scripture makes it abundantly clear. So what we're going to read through today, again, I could spend a lot of time on this. I'm fascinated by this. I've spent so much on it. I've spent years studying these things. We're going to go through it very quickly, but what I'm getting at is these things are worthy of greater reading and greater understanding, greater cross-referencing, greater understanding of all of the things. Jesus is going to reference a lot of things in Scripture that he's not going to explicitly say, you know, here, 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 and here. So understanding all of that is vitally important because Jesus says it's important. All right, let's jump into God's Word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Mark 13, starting in verse 1. As Jesus was leaving the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what massive stones, what magnificent buildings." Verse 2, "Do you see all these great buildings?" replied Jesus. "Not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down." Okay, so right there, Jesus is specifically prophesying about 70 AD when Rome would surround the city. They would put it under siege for about a year and then eventually take the city. And one of the things that they intentionally did was they destroyed the temple. They tore all of the bricks down of the temple. The Romans at this point were so sick of the zealots. They were so sick of the rebellion that was, and even during the time of Jesus here, it was an ongoing rebellion, but it was going to get worse after Jesus dies and rises from the dead. The zealots, those who are basically terrorists against, Jewish terrorists against Rome, they made ruling and governing in Israel very difficult on the Romans, and the Romans hated them for it. And so in 70 AD, they would come and they would destroy the temple. They would literally making sure that they did this on purpose. They pulled every stone. They didn't even leave a foundation of the temple on purpose. And they carried off all of the articles of the temple to Rome and set them up on display in Rome. They had a parade after this great victory. And so what Jesus is prophesying here happened in 70-71 AD. Verse 3. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, tell us, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign that they are about to be fulfilled? Jesus said to them, watch out so that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name, claiming I am he, and will deceive many. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Now, this is an interesting thing that Jesus is saying here, because they're specifically asking about the temple being destroyed. And Jesus is going to use this to launch into something else entirely. And this is where there's a point of contention between people of different theological beliefs, preterists, people who believe that what Jesus is saying here quite literally all happened in 70 AD, that all of the end times events in Mark here, in Matthew, Luke, and John, in Revelation and Daniel, that all of those events happened in 70 AD when this temple was destroyed. They're called preterists. They believe that all of those things, all of those end times events are in the past. I personally disagree with that. Most, looking at just, most theologians, most interpreters, most people throughout Christian history have disagreed with that. They believe that the end times events, while there are things that have already happened, almost all of the end times events, including Jesus' second coming, has yet to happen. And that is why Jesus says, watch out that no one deceives you. People will come in my name claiming that to be me. And it's not me. He's basically saying, he's going to get to this. He's like, when I come, you'll know. You'll most certainly know. That's what Jesus is getting at. So again, I just wanted to point out that there's people that we call themselves, and we call them preterists, who believe that everything that we're about to read has already happened. They exist, and that doesn't mean that they're not Christian brothers and sisters. And it's not like, because they believe this, we should treat them as anything other than Christian brothers and sisters. We should. It's just that we have a point of contention on this, and that's okay. It's okay. But again, doesn't mean that we need to be like all Pharisees and Sadducees, where we start wars over this kind of stuff and believe that they're not Christian and that kind of stuff. It's not rising to that level. But I have a disagreement over that point, and just surveying most Christians throughout history have as well. All right, continue on verse 8. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places and famines. These are the beginning of birth pains. You must be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and flogged in the synagogues. On account of me, you will stand before governors and kings as witnesses to them. And the gospel must first be preached to all nations. Whenever you are arrested and brought to a trial, do not worry beforehand what to say. Just say whatever is given you at the time, for it is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. Everyone will hate you because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. So Peter, James, John, and Andrew are asking Jesus, when is all this going to happen? When's the temple going to come down? And he starts into all of this, and it's just like every new thing. It's like, Jesus, stop. This is just getting worse and worse and worse, right? Nation will rise against nation. It's going to be world wars, famines, earthquakes. And he's like, and that's just the beginning. He says, be on your guard. He's like, even your fathers, your parents will betray you. Your brothers and sisters will betray you. They will they will actually have you handed over to be put to death. The people closest to you in your life, right? Brother will betray brother, and a father his child. Because everyone's going to hate you because of me. And again, they're probably thinking, Jesus, this is not the question we asked. I'm not entirely sure where you're going with this. Why? I don't like this. I don't like where this is going, Jesus. Stop. Please stop, right? And he's going off. All of these things are bad. These are all really bad, really challenging, really difficult. If we take a survey of Revelation and Daniel, we know that in the end times, God is going to judge the earth. And he's actually going to pour out his wrath on the earth. But one of the things that Revelation and that Daniel make clear, and other scriptures in the New Testament make clear, is that God's people, Christians, are not appointed to wrath. But again, also, what's clear in Revelation, what's clear in Daniel, is there's a man coming, and we call the Antichrist. Revelation calls him the Antichrist. Paul calls him the man of lawlessness. Jesus alludes to him here. Is actually during the end times, the wrath of God is not going to be poured out on God's people. It's going to be poured out on the unbelievers who are warring against him. But what happens against the believers are these kinds of things, brother against brother, that kind of thing, people being turning you over to the government. But it's that the Antichrist will be given authority, be granted authority over Christians, over Jews by God to make war with them and to overcome them, to win these battles, to win against believers. The Lord is going to give him authority to do that. And that's what we're getting at here. Most of these things are not going to be perpetrated against believers, but there will be difficulties for believers as well. Mark 13, verse 14 now. When you see the abomination that causes desolation standing where it does not belong, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let no one on the housetop go down or enter the houses to take anything out. Let no one go down in the field to go back to get their cloak. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Pray that this will not take place in winter, because those will be days of distress unequaled from the beginning when God created the world until now, never to be equaled again. This is a prophecy from the book of Daniel, that there's going to be a man who's going to set up an abomination that causes desolation in the temple. That's where Jesus is saying, where it does not belong, meaning in the temple. He's saying, let the reader understand. That's a very interesting phrase that Jesus uses here. There was a historical man named Antiochus IV Epiphanes, a Greek king, a Greek ruler who conquered Jerusalem at one point and actually did something akin to this. He set up idols and he sacrificed pigs inside the temple, which are forbidden and prohibited that anyone touch or raise a pig in Israel. So he did all of this intentionally to defile the temple, all of these things. And so this abomination of desolation, in some ways, what Daniel prophesied had already happened, because Antiochus IV Epiphanes came after Daniel. And Jesus is saying here, when he says, let the reader understand, what he's saying is that wasn't actually the event. He's saying it's still yet to come. And Jesus is making very clear here that this event has not yet happened. It's coming in the future. The tense that Jesus is speaking of, he's speaking of in the future. Even though what Antiochus IV Epiphanes did could have been looked at as the abomination of desolation that Daniel was prophesying about, Jesus is saying that wasn't it. That wasn't it. He's saying this is going to be such dire circumstances. And now he is not speaking universally here. He's not speaking to everyone around the world when the abomination of desolation happens. He is speaking specifically to the people of Jerusalem and Judea, the surrounding areas. When this happens, when this abomination of desolation is set up on this temple, he says, run. Not figuratively run, literally run. You actually, literally have a short time to get far enough away before this consumes you. He says, run. He says, I'm so serious about this. He says, don't go back and get your coat. Don't go back upstairs to grab something. He says, when you hear of this happening, run right now. Get out of Jerusalem. Get out of Judea. Get as far east as you can. Run away as fast as you can. He's not kidding. He's not being figurative. He's being literal here. He says, when you hear this happen, run. And it's so urgent. He says, don't go upstairs to get something out of your house before you run. Just run. Those are dire warnings, dire warnings. But again, only specifically to the people living in Judea and Jerusalem. Verse 20, if the Lord had not cut short those days, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect whom he has chosen, he has shortened them. At that time, if anyone says to you, look, here's the Messiah, or look, there he is, do not believe it. For false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. So be on your guard. I have told you everything ahead of time. The whole point that Jesus is making in all of this comes down to that last phrase, verse 23. I'm telling you about all of this in advance. Number one, so you won't be deceived. Number two, so you'll be prepared. And what prepared means is that we're prepared at a heart level, that we won't be afraid, that this won't shake us in fear so much that we turn away from the Lord. That's what Jesus is getting at. He's like saying, I'm telling you all of these terrible things. He's like, this is going to be so bad that if the Lord didn't cut it short, no one would survive. That's how bad it really is. He's saying it really is this bad. But he's saying, I'm telling you in advance so that you'll know that all of this has been set up from the beginning. He's saying, don't be caught off guard by this. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. You can't pray away. You can't pray this away. This is not going to not happen because you don't want it to. But when this happens, understand, I told you ahead of time, so you know this isn't like a derivation of the plan. This isn't like God being caught off guard. Oh my gosh, all of these things are falling apart. God must not be real. That's not it. He's saying, no, it's going to happen. When it does, I want you prepared, meaning I want your heart ready to accept this and walk through it without abandoning your faith in me. That's what Jesus is saying. That's the point of this. Verse 24. But in those days, following that distress, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. Okay, that's crazy. I mean, everything that Jesus said here is bad and it's crazy. But then this is like, over the top, the sun will be darkened, the stars will fall from the sky. How does that even happen? What does that even mean, right? There's just so many things. Your mind goes to 1,000 questions. And if you come out with more answers than you do questions, you haven't read this right. You haven't read this right if you come out with more answers than questions. Maybe the more you read it, you do get some answers, but you should come up with 10 times more questions every time you read through this. Again, if you didn't come up with more questions when you've read through this 10 times, hopefully in 10 weeks, you didn't read it right. This is crazy. This is insane what he's talking about here. And we need to understand that he knows about it ahead of time. He's telling us ahead of time that it's coming, that we need our hearts prepared for it. Verse 26. At that time, people will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory, and he will send his angels and gather the elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth and the ends of the heavens. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you will know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that it is near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. So Jesus is saying, listen, when false messiahs come, don't follow them. Don't go after them. He's like, it's not me. He's like, when it's me, you will know it's me. And when it's me, I'm going to come gather all of the believers from the four winds of the earth, me and all of the angels of heaven. It's like saying, so there's no need for you to even begin to, for a split second, believe, is this really Jesus? Is this Jesus' second coming? Is this guy really Jesus come again? He's saying, there will be no doubt. You, if you have to ask, it's not me. It's not. You will know. You will most certainly know. So if you even have to ask, if you even wonder, then just know 100% for sure it's not me. Not me. Don't go after them. Don't listen. Don't hear anything they have to say. Just shut them out because it's not me and they're telling you lies. All right, let's finish up the last bit here. Jesus says, this generation will not pass away until all these things happen. This is where the preterists that I mentioned before, they say, well, Jesus says right here that this generation that he's speaking to in this context, all of these things are going to happen. And so for our context now, it's all happened in the past. That's one way to look at this. Another way to look at this is also saying that Jesus is talking to the generation that all of these things will happen. That he's saying that all of these things will happen in one generation. That this will not be some kind of series of events that happen over 300 years. That when these things start, when the end times events happen, they will happen within the course of one generation. So there's two ways of looking at and interpreting what Jesus is saying here, is that this idea of this generation is that he's either speaking directly to those people in this context, or he's speaking of the people that this will matter to. Because if it didn't matter to them, and it didn't matter to the people 100 years ago, all of these events didn't happen 100 years ago, but it's going to matter. What Jesus is saying here is going to matter to the people in that time period when these events happen. And that's why, since I believe that they are yet future, it is important for us to understand them and do exactly as Jesus says and prepare our hearts that we are not shaken when they do come. For the 10-week Bible study, I'm your host, Aaron Hibbs, and I can't wait to see you next time.
Hey, thanks for tuning into the 10-Week Bible Study podcast. If you've enjoyed this podcast, would you consider leaving a review for it on your podcast app of choice? It really helps other people find out about this podcast, and my heart is for people to fall in love with God's Word. Thank you.